As we move inexorably through these Sundays, we continue to hear a story from the Gospel of Mark. Now, I know last time we were together, we talked a little bit about Mark's Gospel, but it bears a little repeating because it helps us to understand just a bit more deeply what's going on in this story. We mentioned how Mark's Gospel, from beginning to end, is a rather coherent story. But it's broken up for us, as we hear it in our celebration of worship, in little snippets, little scenes. Mark's language itself gives us a sense of urgency, but we lose that sense of urgency when we break up the narrative, the story, the way that we do, except in certain words that Mark uses repeatedly throughout the gospel. Some translations, you will see the word immediately, continually peppered through the story, through the narrative, from the beginning of Mark's gospel to the very end. Well, you know, that gets boring when you keep using the same word all the time, so the translators of our text today use the word at once. Well, two words, actually, but there it is. At once. And that word itself, as we look at it throughout the course of the gospel, has an obvious meaning in terms of timing, that immediately or at once means it's happening like right here, right now. But when we read it in the context of the whole story, we begin to see that Mark is building from the very beginning, building a sort of momentum that carries us through the story. The lessons come, the little snippets, the stories, the scenes come, and they come faster and faster and faster. And we hear that sense of urgency as that word is continually used, immediately or at once or some such translation as that. And we begin to understand, as we mentioned, that Mark is a single story. Probably, we are told, the story of the last week of Jesus' life. And so there is this building momentum as Jesus emerges from the wilderness. He comes to proclaim the kingdom of God, and one scene follows on another, and the momentum builds and builds and builds until we get to that climax of the story, which is Mark's depiction of Jesus' passion and death on the cross. That's the pinnacle, the high point, if you will, of Mark's story. It's the focus of what he wants us to understand. And so the stories about Jesus are not so much about the particular events that are happening, but really an attempt by the gospel writer Mark to show us just who this Jesus is. So these stories, we can't really get caught up in the details of the story itself. You know, phrase that I've started to use a lot is going down rabbit holes. You know, it's a very popular phrase. You know, we can do that very quickly. Particularly today, we can start talking about demon possession and, you know, how all that works and how Jesus has the authority to chase demons away. And we can go down that rabbit hole and spend a lot of time talking about that, but I would prefer that we don't. I would prefer that we look at the story as it's in Mark's gospel as an introduction to who Jesus is. Because if you really look at the text, that's really what's going on here. The story about the healing of this man possessed by a demon is almost secondary to the real purpose of this story, and that is betrayed in this passage to us by the amazement of the people. That's really what Mark is trying to get across, that Jesus comes into the synagogue and he teaches, and by his teaching people are amazed at what he's doing and saying. We can think of it in a little different way. Think of it, just go back into that scene for a moment with me. You know, Palestine was not a very big place. It was kind of like South Central Pennsylvania. Everybody knows everybody else if you're not related to everybody else along the way. And, you know, when things happen, when things begin to move along the way, suddenly everybody starts talking. You know, that's also a phenomenon that we all know about. When you sort of, something happens and say somebody is not well in a particular community, and pretty soon there's the phone calls and there's the leaning over when you see somebody at the restaurant or in the bank or at church, and what's going on? And the story starts to circulate, and pretty soon everybody knows pretty much everything about everybody. That's just the way it is. Well, Palestine was no different than that. It was not a very big place. And so, you know, all of a sudden Jesus starts walking around. He's going now down from his native place in Nazareth. He's down in Capernaum, which is a little bit bigger than Nazareth. And there Jesus is teaching in the synagogue, kind of the main church in town, as it were. And so you can imagine people leaning over as they're listening to him and saying, who is this guy? And, oh, well, so-and-so says he's Jesus, the son of Joseph, a carpenter. And, you know, they start talking among themselves. And then they stop trying to figure out who he is, and they hear his teaching, and they can be pretty impressed. They're pretty words, good words, pretty good words. And maybe they think, well, this guy's not such a bad preacher. We should listen to him more often. Well, there were a lot of preachers like that, a lot of teachers of the law. That's who we talk about when we talk about the scribes and the Pharisees. And so the people are saying, once they get a full dose of Jesus, they're saying, oh, this must be a new teaching, not like the scribes, but this one teaches with authority. Now, on my office wall, when I have an office again, you will see the diplomas. I'm quite proud of them, frankly. Took a lot of work to get them. A long time to get them too. And they give me a certain amount of cred among scholars. You know, I paid my dues, as it were. And it also kind of gives people a sense, you put them up on your wall of fame, and you know, you just want everybody to see them. A little bit of braggadocio there, that this guy must know what he's talking about. After all, he went to school all those years, went through all of that stuff, and they gave him these pieces of paper, and somehow they must mean something, so maybe we should listen to him. That's kind of the way people would listen to the scribes and the Pharisees. They were the ones who were the officially credentialed preachers in the synagogue. But see, anybody could preach in the synagogue, so Jesus stands up, and he doesn't have any diplomas, he doesn't have any credentials from any academic institution. He just stands up and he's teaching not out of the book learning that he got at some institution of higher learning. He's teaching from the very core of who he is. That's what that word authority really means. In Greek, the word is exousia. It means out of the very substance of who he is. It's not something that was added on or poured into. It's something that comes authentically from the very reality of his life. And then the word power, that means something too, because authority can be the kind of power where you can compel somebody to do something by force. It's the power that's used by governments throughout the world to compel people to act in a certain way. If you don't act that way, we send the police and there you go. That's a certain kind of power. But that's not the kind of power that is being described in today's gospel lesson, because the word that's being used is power, but the kind of power that says, this guy really knows what he's talking about. We all know people like that in our own lives, people who we know have had a lot of experience, that they're coming from a place of deep knowledge, not because they learned it out of a book, because they've been there. You know, been there, done that, got the t-shirt, that kind of thing. And so Jesus comes into their midst and he's preaching to them, and they are amazed, because he came to them not with all of the credentials that he could hang on his office wall, But this young man was coming and standing in their midst and preaching in such a way that things begin happening because of his words. That's the authority with which Jesus speaks. We all say that deeds are stronger than words. And so Jesus begins to show his authority, his power, not by compelling people to do things, but by reaching out and in his compassion and in his empathy, bringing a great mercy, a great grace of healing to this afflicted man. Jesus came out of the wilderness, we're told at the beginning of Mark's gospel, proclaiming this: change your lives, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And so now those words are not simply just words that he learned in a book someplace. He's actually making the kingdom alive. He's actually doing kingdom work. He's bringing healing and wholeness to people who are afflicted and hurting. He does it right out of the Bible. He journeys down to Capernaum. He starts preaching. He does this, and the people are amazed. That shows us something about who this Jesus is and what he is about to accomplish. Mark is setting us up for that wonderful story of how through Jesus' life, this last week of Jesus' life, his teaching, his actions are showing to us that he's just not another criminal going to be nailed to a cross, but indeed is authoritative, is powerful, is able to make real the words he uses. There's a story told about a preacher. He was a very good preacher, and his people loved to listen to his sermon. So one Sunday he gets up and he preaches this sermon. It is a marvelous sermon, one of his best. People are standing at the door as they're leaving, shaking his head. Pastor, that was one of your best sermons ever. I learned so much. I was moved so deeply by what you said. And of course he accepted all of those affirmations and those compliments very graciously. Now the next Sunday he did something a little odd. He preached the very same sermon again, word for word. Now, the people in the congregation started to lean over to one another and wondered if he had gotten mixed up, if he had brought the wrong text with him, or maybe he totally forgot that he already preached that sermon and something else is wrong with our pastor. But nonetheless, they were faithful people, very affirming to him. And at the door again, shaking his hand, they said, well, Pastor, you know, you preached that sermon last week, but we heard it again, and I got something else out of it. That's good. I'm glad you did that. And so on it went as the people filed out. Now, on the third, he preached the exact same sermon again. Now, this time, the congregation wasn't quite so forgiving. They began to think that this guy was losing it, that he was flipping out, that he had totally lost his memory or whatever it was. They were very concerned, so they started going to him and expressing their concern to him, and he accepted that as well. And finally, somebody went up and specifically said, I don't understand why you preach the same sermon 3 weeks in a row. That's not what we pay you to do. And he turned to that person and he said to them, well, I've preached it 3 times, but I haven't seen anyone do anything about what I preach. Because the role of the preacher is to move his congregation to action. Not simply that we sit back and listen to the nice words, and that we are comforted and given some sense of inner contentment and joy because of what has been preached. But rather, that in proclaiming the kingdom of God as Jesus proclaims it, we are moved not only in the moment, but that we leave the place and our lives are changed and transformed. If that's the case, then it's not the preacher who's preaching, it's Jesus himself. And in point of fact, that's what our worship is about. To bring into the presence of the world the very presence of Jesus Christ. And my friends, that is your job. To hear the words of Jesus and to see them being spoken with great authority, with power, power enough to move all of us out of this place, beyond those doors and into the world, so that the world itself is changed because of us. For we are the very presence of Christ in the world. If we believe that Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom of God, then it is incumbent upon us, it behooves us, that it is our bounden duty, as our prayer says, to be that presence, that kingdom, in our homes, in our schools, in the places where we work, where we shop, where we very well. That people would see us and they see that this Jesus, the one who preaches the power and the power to change and transform lives. And that